2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
So as I've been talking about on this show and a lot of the conversations that are happening in the country is this new era of politics that we live in. You know, we now live in this wild west of American politics with the vast introduction of mail-in ballots to a scale that we hadn't seen in prior elections since COVID and beyond. It's completely changed the dynamics of elections. I mean, we saw with the 22 midterms, Republicans got caught with their pants down because it's no longer about earning votes. It's about finding ballots. So the dynamics have changed. But even beyond that, you can look at places and states that are doing it right. Look at Florida. My state, I'm a little bit biased as a Floridian. I love this state. I think it's the best state in the country. But look at what we were able to do. We have a population of 22 million people, and we were able to deliver results on election night. We had also been just recovering from a Category 4 hurricane. We were also facing another incoming hurricane as we went into Election Day. So why was Florida able to do it and make it seem so easy, yet it's hard for so many of these other states? And this is a really important issue as we move forward, because we have to have faith in our elections. We need to know that they're being done right. We need to know that the people being elected truly are supposed to be there. And this is going to get more challenging because you look at the use of mail-in ballots, you look at the use of absentee ballots, it's all grown exponentially from 20% in 2004 to 69% in 2020. And we used to be able to call elections on election night. That used to be the norm. Look at presidential elections of the past. The Associated Press was able to call the 2012 presidential race for Barack Obama at 11:38 p.m. on election night. 2016, the AP called the election for Donald Trump at 2:29 a.m. the next day after the election. But in 2020, with mail-in ballots, the AP didn't call the race until 11:26 a.m. Eastern, November 7th, 4 days after the election. And you look at in the midterms how long it has taken to count the votes in some of these states. So we're going to talk to the guy who is in charge of Florida's elections about what Florida does to get things right. We've recently made changes as a state, looking at things, strengthening laws on things like drop boxes. Now they must be monitored in person by election workers. We're going to talk about that. Also, Republicans created a new elections investigations unit as well, among the first of the kind in its nation, to ensure that people are doing the right thing and voting. So we're going to talk to the guy who's leading the charge in a state that's doing it right. Maybe some of the other states will learn And that conversation is going to be with Secretary of State Cord Byrd. He was appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis as Florida's 37th Secretary of State. And he has spent his life fighting for the Constitution, individual liberty, economic freedom, limited government. So he wants to make sure that our elections are done right, that people have integrity in our elections. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be a blueprint for some of these other states that can't seem to figure it out. I'm looking at you, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada. So I hope you enjoy this conversation and we'll all learn a lot together. Cord Byrd, thank you so much for joining the show. I'm a Floridian, so it's awesome to have you on. We live in the best state, so thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Lisa. And yes, you're right. The Sunshine State's leading the way.
It really is on everything, including elections. And this was really underscored on election night when we were able to count our ballots, our votes, in a state of 22 million people when all these other states could not. So why is it so easy for Florida and so hard for everyone else?
Sure. I mean, it all begins with putting the right laws in place with the legislature and the governor. I mean, going back to 2000, we learned our lesson. And, you know, during every cycle, we continue to improve upon our laws. No matter how well we do, we continue to do better. So, for example, we start canvassing votes, which for your listeners who may not know, that means counting the vote by mail and the early votes 22 days prior to election day. The supervisors can start counting those votes. So on election night, that very first number that comes out within minutes of the polls closing is your early and vote by mail. And then we have strict standards in place that every first 45 minutes and then thereafter every 30 minutes, they have to report the election day results as the precincts are reporting. So we don't give them the leeway to just say, hey, you've got multiple days to count. We require them to get their count in that night.
Well, and obviously you mentioned the Gore versus Bush controversy. I think it was almost 22 years ago. It was 22 years ago. You know, talk about, you had mentioned that Florida made changes. Talk about some of the changes that were made after that. And the continued strengthening of our laws here in Florida.
Sure. So I was actually in Palm Beach County in 2000, still have my sample butterfly ballot with the hanging Chad, pregnant Chad, the whole nine yards. And so after that, because we had multiple different voting systems in place in Florida at that time, the state decided that at the state level, we were going to certify any voting system. So I have my own team of experts. Before anybody can bring a voting system into Florida to be used at the county level, we require that to be certified by the state so that all of the counties are on the same standards. That's one of the important things. I ran legislation when I was in the state house that says that the paper ballot is the best evidence of voter intent. So we use paper ballots in Florida, even though they're tabulated by a machine, there's a voter marking a piece of paper on their vote. We have strict on vote by mail, strict requirements that anybody that's matching the signatures, that they undergo training. We have an open process. So whether it's the logic and accuracy testing, so that's the before the election cycle starts, the public can come in and look at the machines and see that the counts are at zero and that they're working properly. Through the canvassing process, the public can come in and watch. On election night, the public can come in and watch. So we're always trying to balance access with integrity, and that's led to the gold standard that we are today.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of concerns that mail-in ballots are more susceptible to fraud. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. And that goes back even to the Baker Carter report in 2005, which was the bipartisan commission that looked at voting in the United States. And even in that report, they said that mail-in voting is the most susceptible to fraud. It is a popular method of voting in Florida. So on this last election, we had about a third vote by mail, a third early vote, and a third on election day. So we have as many safeguards in place as I think we can. On mail-in voting, we banned ballot harvesting. So what you see in Nevada and California, That's illegal in Florida. And then I'm required, my office is required before the next legislative session in 2023 to provide a report on how to add additional safeguards to vote by mail just once again to increase integrity and security.
Well, and I think that's important to continue learning too, because, you know, for instance, on mail-in ballots, you know, how much of an increase have we seen since COVID in terms of the use of that? So it seems to make sense that as things change, you know, we're adapting and making sure that our laws are meeting, you know, today's world.
No, you're exactly right. And there were a lot of people, for example, in this past race or this past election, and we don't in Florida, you have to request a ballot. So unlike other states that just go ahead and mail a ballot to every single voter on the voter roll, we do not do that. You have to request it. And it was on a 2-year cycle. So we had many people during COVID request one, but then vote by or in person this last election. So we had about there have been some reports that, oh, there's a million mail out ballots that weren't returned. And that's true because those people during COVID, they voted by mail. They then reverted back to their normal pattern of voting in person this time. And last legislative session, we've now gone to the request being for every 2 cycles. To every cycle, you have to request the mail-in ballot. So that's an additional safeguard that we've put in place.
And talk a little bit about, so there were additional measures that were enacted in 2021, right? Like strengthening things like drop boxes, having to be monitored by person, by an election worker. Can you talk about some of those changes that were made? And then the new election integrity unit?
Sure, absolutely. So we've, in Florida, we now call them secure ballot intake stations, but they were formerly known as drop boxes. And the difference being the drop box connotates they can be put on a, you know, on a corner somewhere and nobody watches it, where the ballot intake stations have to be monitored by an election worker. And I went to all 67 counties after I was appointed by the governor and visited with every single supervisor of elections and looked at their operations. Many of them have 2 people watching because there's a $25,000 fine in place to the supervisor personally if they don't or if they leave that box unmonitored. Because some people are not trustful of the Postal Service. They like the convenience of the box. So once again, that's one of those measures where we're trying to balance convenience with integrity. And I think we've struck the right balance there.
I mean, Secretary, I'm not going to lie. If I was faced with a $25,000 fine, I think I would be running a tight ship as well. So
exactly.
That's a lot of cash. I feel like we're in this weird place as a country because of obviously mail-in ballots and absentee ballots growing so substantially since COVID. I mean, for instance, I think they've grown from 20% in 2004 to 69% in 2020 in the country, you know, nationally. Not sure what 2022 is going to ultimately look like. What are your recommendations for some of these other states? Because obviously when we don't have results on election night and we have to wait, you know, a week plus to get results, it really just undermines faith in the election process at large.
It does. And I think the number one thing that other states can do and should do is start canvassing their vote by mail and early votes earlier. So just like Florida, follow our model and example, because the longer this goes on, it breeds distrust. It allows for people to call into question the integrity of the election. And that really is an easy change. And, you know, people go, well, what happens if somebody releases those results ahead of time? I mean, only the SOE should have, the supervisor of election should have those numbers. And we make it a felony in Florida if you are to release those numbers ahead of time. And we've never had that happen where those numbers got out before election night. So I think that's the number one thing they could do. And also, we have in Florida, our supervisors of election are independently elected constitutional officers. They're professionals. They're accountable to the people. Where in other states, they don't have that model, and it's just another job that maybe the city manager, or a county clerk has, in addition to all of their other duties, is every 2 or 4 years they're in charge of an election. That's not their full time job, and I think that's another difference that Florida has in place, that we have people who their entire job all year round, all they're dedicated to doing is making sure that they can get election results on election night.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, you know, and it's crazy, too, because you can go back and look at elections in previous election cycles. And, you know, Associated Press called the 2012 presidential race for Obama at 11:38 p.m. on election night. 2016, the AP called the election for Donald Trump at 2:29 the day after the election. And then in 2020, with mail-in ballots, the AP didn't call the race until 11:26 a.m. November 7th, 4 days after the election. Is it, you know, I mean, Florida makes it look so easy in terms. I know it's not. I know you've got a big job and you work very hard to make sure the elections are efficient and done with integrity. But is it that they just don't care in some of these other states? It's just hard to imagine that there are easy changes that could be made, yet no one seems to care to make them.
It really starts with the legislatures, and that's what I would encourage people to contact their state representative and state senator, because they have the constitutional authority to do this. And, you know, you mentioned we make it look easy, and I'm glad it looks that way because we do put a lot of time into it. You got to remember, we had a major Category 4 plus hurricane hit a month prior to the election, and we had another one hit the day after the election, and we were still able to do this. So I think our results speak for themselves, and I've offered my services to any other state that's interested, more than happy to help them walk through Florida's laws and what they can do, because it really isn't acceptable, and especially in these midterm and presidential races. I mean, it matters to Floridians what happens in these races in other states, and it undermines our confidence in those results when they can't do what we do.
Well, and it also, like, you look at a midterm election, and if it was this messy this past midterm cycle, then what is it going to be for the presidential election when you have more people turning out in these states? You know, if they can't handle it for a midterm election, then, you know, we're really going to have confidence eroded in the upcoming presidential election if they don't get their acts together.
Well, that's it. And I went and looked at Arizona's laws, and they do have some changes coming for 24. So it should improve some in Arizona with some of the additional changes they're making. But it's going to take citizens in those states where they may not, that they still have ballot harvesting, to adapt until their legislatures make those changes. They're going to have to adapt to those rules and fight on that same playing field, even if they find that policy personally distasteful. That's what it's going to take to win these races.
Quick break. More on election integrity. Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be. With the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X, folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And talk about the concerns with ballot harvesting and why Florida bans it. You know, how can it be exploited? What's the concern there, and why don't we have it?
Well, it's a great question. And I mean, when you hear in these other states, I mean, you can show up to the polling place with hundreds of ballots. And the problem with vote by mail is that it's unsupervised voting, and it's subject, and these aren't my words, this is coming out of the Baker Carter report. It's subject to intimidation and coercion. Sometimes people are paid for their vote by mail ballots. And so when somebody walks in with hundreds of ballots, or you hear these stories of individuals going through apartment complexes and asking, you know, knocking on doors and asking them to turn in their ballots, that becomes a problem, whether or not those people are truly casting those votes and following the right procedure. So we had that problem in Florida. We've banned it. We still allow for someone, if you're a family member and you live with your grandparents, and you can take their ballots to the polling place. So we have a very prescribed law on who can be in possession of someone else's ballots, but it's very narrow, and unlike Nevada and California.
Well, and I think, you know, I try to look at everything, Secretary, from just like a common sense standpoint and lens. And if you look at, you know, ballot harvesting, it's like, the likelihood of it touching more hands, chain of custody concerns, and then that just introduces, obviously, the possibility of fraud when, you know, you're giving your ballot to someone you don't really know. You know, like, who knows what they're going to do with it?
Well, that's it. It's a problem with, the people have had concerns about the drop boxes when there's some of the videos and people walking up with multiple ballots. Governor DeSantis has been very clear that he wanted, you know, ballot harvesting banned, and some of these other rules tightened up, and the legislature responded. And that's why, you know, we're the gold standard.
I actually think this is like an incredibly important issue, too, because, I mean, you look at just the country as a whole, you know, there's a loss of faith in every institution, from, you know, the media to our government to, you know, essentially everything. And so for people to be able to trust that their vote counted, that the elections were done with integrity, that the people who are elected are the people that should be elected, I think is paramount to, you know, to having a thriving republic.
It is. And you're exactly right. And I'm glad you called it a republic, because that's what it is. We're a republic that uses democratic processes to elect our representatives. And if we lose faith in that institution, then I don't know that any of the others matter. So we have to get this right. And the encouraging thing is, and this is what I would tell people in other states, we have so many Floridians who have become involved in the process. And I started over 25 years ago as a poll watcher. And so it takes citizens becoming involved and active in the process. And that helps, because the more people we have watching, the more people we have reporting. And we do have, I was getting text messages all day long from people that would see things or have concerns, and we would look into it. I would call a supervisor, my team would call out, and that's what it's going to take to rebuild that trust. But I think Florida has set the example, and we can get back to an election system that every American can trust.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do think that, you know, a lot of times we look to like the federal government, or we look to or elected officials, when a lot of times, you know, we need to take steps ourselves to try to change things from the bottom up. So I like the fact you mentioned, you know, you can sign up to be a poll watcher, you can get involved. to ensure that there's integrity in your elections. You know, talk about some of those steps that citizens can take if they're like, you know what, I'm sick of the process. I want to step up. I want to make sure that things are done right in my state. What are some things that people can do to sort of step up to the plate and to try to change things on their own, obviously from a legal standpoint, but you know, what are some things that people can do?
Sure. Well, once again, you know, I mentioned being a poll watcher, but being a poll worker, I talked to several people around the state when I would go visit supervisors and meet citizens and talk to them, and who were skeptical of what happened in 2020, had concerns, and they actually became a poll worker, meaning they work for the county during the election cycle. And then they said once they got to see it behind the scenes and saw the safety measures in place, the chain of custody, what the supervisor of elections was doing, it gave built confidence in them. And then they go out and tell their friends, their neighbors, the people they go to church with. And it's that kind of that organic system building up and citizens taking responsibility for their own government, because it requires active participation. This notion that we can sit back and then be governed by other people and then just complain when things go wrong. That's not the way this is supposed to work.
Yeah, and I really think, you know, obviously there's a lot of concerns about the country as a whole, but it's going to take each of us to, you know, step up to the plate to try to redirect this country and to right the ship, because the Biden administration's not going to do it. So, and apparently in a lot of these states, you know, like Pennsylvania, they're not going to do it either.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, some people have been calling, oh, we need to federalize or nationalize elections. We need one standard. And I think that's a terrible idea. You know, not much good comes out of Washington, D.C. when they get involved. And so, as frustrating as it is to watch other states not get it right, I think the solution is to put pressure on the state legislatures in those states and the citizens in those states to step up than to say we're going to turn this over to Washington, because I just think that would be a monumental failure. I think the founders got it right when they said it's the state legislatures that are to determine the time, place and manner of elections.
And you mentioned the desire to federalize elections, which has been, you know, HR1. It was a top priority for Democrats to try to do that. What would that do to elections? You know, kind of talk through that a little bit, sort of, you know, gaming through what that could do to a country and what that would do to our elections. I mean, obviously it federalizes it, but just kind of walk us through what that means.
Right. I mean, you just talk about building distrust and there's not much good that comes out of Washington these days and the gridlock and their inefficiencies. And quite frankly, the privacy issues of having one centralized database with 330 million Americans and, you know, in one place and all that centralized data and information. And knowing that that would lead to electing the most powerful person in the world, the president of the United States. I mean, you talk about corruption and distrust. I can't think of any greater prize for someone to want to infiltrate and to take advantage of that, which is why having it diffused amongst the 50 states. And then even in Florida, I mean, one of our strengths is that even within our laws, all 67 counties can do it a little differently. We've got Miami-Dade with 1.5 million voters, our largest county, and then Liberty County with about 4,500. They do things a little differently to match the needs of their counties, but you would have to know how all 67 are doing it to hack the system. If it was federalized, you would have to hack one system to get the keys to the kingdom, and that's why it's such a terrible idea.
Which they did tell us with the federal elections in 2016 that they couldn't be hacked because they were decentralized. But then it was Russia stole the election. So, but anyways, that's another
exactly.
Yes. That's another.
Yes. And listen, there are bad actors trying to. I mean, they're constantly trying to probe our systems, and that's not just Florida, but other states. I mean, so there are bad actors internationally that are trying to do bad things in our elections. But we have great security measures in place here to prevent that.
You know, Secretary, is there anything I'm missing from this conversation? Any important points that you want the listeners to know that we haven't touched on?
I think the key is really getting involved and participating. You know, I say this everywhere I speak. You know, citizenship requires active participation, and it's not enough just to complain or yell at the TV, yell at the radio. They need to volunteer for a campaign, volunteer for an SOE's office, volunteer or become a candidate yourself. So we're getting it right in Florida. Look to our model. I'll help anybody, anywhere, anytime to get their elections right.
Secretary Byrd, I love our state. We live in the freest, the best state in the entire nation. And again, we lead on another issue, which is what Florida does. So I appreciate what you do to keep it in election integrity to the state. And thank you for the job that you do.
Thank you, Lisa, for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners and get good information out to them.
Secretary of State Cord Byrd of Florida. Interesting conversation. I just wanted to, you know, look, Florida has been able to do it right, so why can't everyone else? So I wanted to hear from our top election guy about what we're doing different and why it's different for you guys at home and for myself too. So I hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting this show together every Monday and Thursday, but you can listen throughout the week. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating as well. I love reading those and seeing that. So thanks so much for listening. Until next time. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.